this was used to teach the CIA how to really manifest and maximize their brain power. I feel like when I closed my eyes, because what I saw initially, all of a sudden, I could see what looked like a vision of like almost like snow, like buzzing snow. And I started to focus on that snow and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the best way I could describe it was like an old school film projector look of grainy, filmy. And all of a sudden I realized it was me laying there and I could see everything around me in perfect detail. So the question I came back to myself later on was, did I step out? Was I looking at myself or... Wise Media Studios, and today we have two guests in the house.
Shelly Sauvé,
and we have
Jean Saunier.
And we're discussing a little bit today about Yakima Paranormal, which is a local group in town that gets together, and from what I understand, from what you've told me, Shelly, is people that are having disruptions or maybe some things going on where they live or where they work, you kind of go there to help them understand some of the potential paranormal activity that might be displaying this information?
Yep, absolutely. Or debunk it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about, now I know you're also with Yakima Paranormal, but you also have your own. It's the
Spirit Connection.
The Spirit Connection. Yes. Okay. And what is that?
I am a psychic medium. So that is where I do my business and do readings. I do my own readings. So I can do readings for people, for businesses, group sessions. And then over the next course of a couple of months, we're going to start selling, you know, metaphysical supplies as well.
Selling what?
Metaphysical supplies like crystals and sage,
okay,
and tarot decks and any type of divination tools.
Do you guys know Brianna from Downtown Association, Yakima Downtown Association?
No.
She just opened up a small shop selling a lot of like crystals and whatnot. Hmm. So maybe that'd be a good person for you to connect with.
Yeah.
So really what we're trying to do today is bring a little bit more awareness to the groups, to the local activities, because you're trying to grow the Yakima Paranormal Facebook group and also grow the amount of people that get involved.
Yes.
Now, is everybody that's involved, does everybody have, I don't know, is power the right type of like
ability? Yeah.
Ability?
Ability.
Yeah. I feel like we're getting ready to shoot an episode of like Heroes or something.
Charmed.
Absolutely not. Everybody has, I mean, they say everybody has this potential to become a psychic medium, but several people on our team absolutely aren't. Some people are more sensitive than other people and pick up on things, but it's not a requirement at all.
Who are you looking for to join the team?
Well, we're looking for people who are obviously interested in the paranormal and who have extra time to give, because we're just volunteers. And it does take a lot of time to, you know, to not only to investigate, but then to go over the evidence and make sure that we caught something or we didn't catch anything. And we have monthly meetings and we usually do training at the meeting. So people don't need to join with any necessary experience either, because we'll teach them that. We'll teach them how to use the equipment and how to do different things to prepare themselves for investigations. And so it's basically kind of an interest in the paranormal and no fears of the dark.
Not every time I imagine that you go out and do something, there's going to be any kind of a paranormal presence.
A lot of people are just relieved to have us come because they're afraid to tell their story, because people get, you know, they think they're crazy or they think that there's something wrong with them. And so at least they feel validated because we understand what's going on. And, you know, basically we're just there to help them and get them through what they're going through.
Jean, tell us a little bit about exactly what your gift is and kind of how you got into this. Like where did your journey start?
God, this is a long story. So hopefully we have some time. So my gift was a multitude of things. I'm clairvoyant, which means that I see images in my mind quick. Like if you think of like a GIF that comes through that kind of relates to what's going on or the energy. I'm also clairaudient, which means I will hear things through my psychic senses, and I'm an empath. So I do have the ability to read on people, like on current life situations. And I'm also a medium, which is connecting to the deceased people and people that have passed on. My journey with this started from when I was very young. I was just talking to Shelly and Emma about this a couple of days ago. I was raised in a house that had been in my dad's family for generations. Was in my dad's family for generations. And I started hearing things and seeing people that weren't there. And I somehow knew things about people that had passed on that I had never met that were family members. And so throughout my journey, I kind of went into this like panic mode, like thinking maybe I was crazy.
I was going to say, this must have really kind of, as a kid, it must have made you feel a little like out of place, different.
It did. And that's been something that I've definitely have to come to terms with, because growing up in the South in a strict Catholic family. And so I kind of went through this period of about 10 years of just having all that anxiety and feeling like I was crazy. But yet somehow I knew details about people that had passed on I had never met. I knew details about people that I was just meeting that they had never told me. So I came to really start to view it as a gift and being able to use it to actually help people through not only hard times in their life, but connecting with people on the other side to bring some sort of resolution or just helping them through that process. Mm-hmm. And in that process over the last 10, 15 years, I've really kind of done my own development and training as far as my own mediumship side and had to kind of almost dispel a lot of things that I had taught. And that's when I really kind of came into my own and started, you know, connecting with Shelly and the group and really putting it to good use.
Is there a level of like what you eat, what you think about, people you surround yourself around? Does it play a role on how effective and how sensitive like this gift could be?
It diminishes for me personally, it diminishes not only the clarity of the connection, but it also, if I'm not grounded and centered and approach it from a place of love and compassion and objectiveness, most importantly, I'm really not clear on the actual connection. So I really have to take time out and take care of myself. First of all, I set boundaries with people and myself as well.
Because you probably get people all the time going, hey, let's.
Yeah, I do that. And I'm like, well, not today.
It's not a parlor trick.
Right.
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of my friends, especially people in the group that I will actually connect and do with it when I'm with them, but as a way of like helping them. But there's also a time if I'm tired or if I'm not in the mood, if I just need a day off, I'll just say, not today. I'll have to do it some other time.
Questions people have that I've had when I told people you guys are going to be coming here, they're asking if there's ever any like dark and sinister type of things you've experienced.
That's perfect. I wanted to talk about that today.
And we're gonna get to that in a second. But Shelly, so you're completely different from what she does or like what her abilities, gifts are. Mm-hmm. And kind of tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this, what your role is.
You know, when I was really, really young, I had an what I thought was an experience. And my sister happened to have the exact same experience. And we both grown up in Yakima. And when we were in about our early, well, I can't even say that. I don't know, as we got older, she found a paranormal group and she had joined the group. And I thought, that is really, really cool. I'd like to do that too. And at the time, the group was really big and they didn't have any room for extra people, because our group has gone from, you know, as little as two people to as big as 35 people.
Right.
And so it varies, because it is just people doing it on their own time and, you know, how they're feeling about doing it. But eventually, after she was in it about 4 or 5 years, then I had they had an opening and I applied. And then not too long after I had applied, probably a year or two in, they were looking for a director. And so I had applied for that. And, you know, there was several other people in the group that I ran against, but I won. I became the leader of the pack. And I've just done that since.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the experience you and your sister had, maybe touch on that a little bit so people know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, we both saw a shadow figure in our house that was solid black, wearing like a cowboy hat, which, you know, is interesting because that's the way my brother looked, you know, and he has since passed away. At that time, he hadn't passed away, but if I had to say it was anybody, that's what I say it would look like as my brother.
And when did your sister have this experience versus when did you have the experience? And when did you and your sister both realize that you had similar experiences but hadn't talked about it when it actually happened?
I think she said she was around 8 and I'm 2 years older, so I was probably around 10. And then until she joined the paranormal group, we hadn't talked about it at all.
How did the conversation come up? Like when you guys were sitting down at a table and spoke about it, what did that feel like?
It was just kind of surprising, you know, because I didn't know she had had the same experience. And I believe it was at some time that someone had just asked a question just like you did. What was your first experience? And she had said that. And then I was like, whoa, that's the same experience that I had, you know? And so it was just kind of another way for us to connect to each other, you know, and share something that we didn't know we had.
Is your sister still a part of the group?
No, she's no longer a part of the group.
Are you guys still like still sisters?
Oh yes, we're still sisters.
this is some of the equipment that you guys use, correct?
Correct.
And we're not going to open it yet, but what is this called? What's in here?
Paranormal equipment.
Paranormal equipment. Okay, so we're going to show you guys that in a few minutes. So Shelley, if you want to go ahead and get that out and kind of we'll get it ready. Back over to Jean. Jean, so you've had some experiences. What was the first positive experience where you saw yourself actually help somebody, and what did that look like?
I think the first positive experience that I had, well, if we want to go to the first one, what I can absolutely remember, I was probably about 15 or 20. And my grandmother passed before I was born. And my father had just kind of blocked it out, blocked all of that. And he had never talked about her. His whole side of the family had never talked about her because it was just so painful losing her. I had seen pictures of her.
How did you guys lose her?
She died of cancer.
Okay.
And my dad was about 16. Whenever it happened. And I remember being in my room and I could see this woman who looked just like me at about this, she was presenting the same age as I was. And she came to me and said, you know, I'm always with you. You need to tell your dad, he needs to start talking about what happened 2 weeks before I died. And I didn't know what that was. I really didn't even know who she was, but I knew that she looked exactly like me. So I knew it had to be like a family member. So I thought I was going crazy. And it was light out. We were living in Texas at that time. And I went to him and said, Dad, I saw this woman who she looked just like me. And she wanted to remind you about a conversation between you and her 2 weeks before she died. And it had turns out that, and then he was like, I can't believe that. I had never told anybody that. She had had a conversation with him a few weeks before she actually died saying, hey, I'm going to pass on. I can feel my time coming. You need to know that I'm always with you and that I'm always watching out after you. And you need to remember the times that I was healthy to do that. And it just kind of blew me wide open because my dad had never talked to anyone about that. So that was really the first time. And it kind of helped him be more open and actually cry about it because I had never seen my dad cry until that time. So that was the first one that I can actually fully remember. And then I can remember another time right after that, about that happened. It was my great grandfather had passed when I was probably about 12 or 13. And this man was my life. And I remember him coming to me and saying, what you're experiencing is real and it's okay. And you need to start to talk to people about it. And that for me was really helpful. And so that's when I kind of started to accept it a little bit more, but it really took me a long time to really fully talk about it. Because again, you know, this is something that is not really widely, at that time especially, was not really widely accepted. Over the years, last couple of years, I would say it's gotten a lot better.
Tell us another experience you've had that was a little more sinister.
Kind of what I was thinking about talking today, because there's something I really want to talk about and I'm interested in exploring more, is, and get this, this is going to be a controversial topic. Demons do not exist in the way that we taught that there are. What it actually is human trauma, negative emotions that have existed for so long in the world that it's kind of taken on a life of its own. So, but if you think about it, and I've really had to kind of sort of, I want to say, take off my religious blinders of what I've been taught and really go into my own meditation and my own training. And then once I realized demons, as we're taught, exist, do not exist. It's just human trauma that takes on its own form and can appear negative and sinister. But if you just ask the right questions and dive a little bit deeper into it, you'll find out it's its own negative energy that, because thoughts are energy, feelings are energy, that has been under the microscope for so long. It's taken on a view of its own, or an intelligence of its own. So if it's human energy, it doesn't have any power over us if you really don't fear it. But a good example of that would be something that I feel happened in the group just last week. We were on an investigation, and the person that had passed over had done some not so nice things. And they were looking at it through that lens of what they had experienced with this person. But whenever we actually went in and investigated, and I really kind of fine-tuned into it, it was more of this person coming through wanting to apologize, because they had, when we pass over, we experience every interaction we've had, every thought we've had, every feeling that we have from our perspective and the perspective of those peoples that we've passed. So we really feel it all and learn from it, where they had wanted forgiveness. And we got some really good evidence whenever we finally changed the questions to, like, are you asking for forgiveness? And I was really able to bring through and specific incidences and validate things and situations with the people there that they had to take a minute to think about, yeah, that actually did happen, when I had no idea about it. And the energy of the whole place just felt a lot lighter when we left.
Did they get relief from you guys being there, or was it?
They did. And I do believe that we have other investigations going on with this family. But at that point in time at night, you can tell at the end, they were like, thank you. And they could breathe a little bit better because they had been viewing it from the trauma that they had been through. And whenever it came through of like, hey, this is just this person coming through wanting to forgiveness and acknowledge that they had done something, it was a lighter feeling.
Yeah. And he subsequently has emailed me too and said, oh my gosh, I feel so much better since that investigation. I feel lighter. She said, but after that investigation, I was so exhausted. She said, all I could do is sleep, you know, because it just drains you.
Yeah.
It's just exhausting, you know, because the spirits will sometimes take your energy to try and talk to you or to try and, you know, make the equipment light up or whatever it's going to do.
This might also be a good point for anybody that's watching right now. If you're experiencing something, can't hurt to reach out to these ladies on the Yakima Paranormal Facebook group, which was a link in the description of this video. There's also a link on this page right now. You're staring at it. So what do we got over here, Shelly? Right, and if you want to hand me one piece at a time, I'll hold it so we can show it in the middle camera.
This is just an infrared thermometer, so we can keep track of the temperature, because usually, you know, people feel cold or cold spots when there's a spirit around.
So you can point this at different random spots in like a house, like a wall, for example.
Yes.
And it could be a different temperature
yes.
than it is.
Right.
Like, okay, and that would be pretty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go around before the investigation and take some readings. And then while we're doing the investigation, we can take readings again and see if they're the same or different.
So when you say paranormal equipment, it's equipment that's used for paranormal purposes to some extent, right? Like this is just an infrared thermometer.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So infrared thermometer that you use to gauge the temperature of the areas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is just
what else we got
stuff
over here?
You'd have. Flashlight.
Okay.
Okay. A notebook, because it's really important to write down.
Take notes.
Yes. What your feelings are, what you experience, what you see, what you hear, that sort of a thing. This is a recorder.
Okay.
So we have some recorders that we record when we're asking questions.
Have you ever recorded, like, let's say we're recording right now, then you go back and listen to it later on and you hear stuff that clearly wasn't there?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I remember distinctly one time you were recording when I was doing a reading for you and some other people in the family, and your brother had came through, and obviously he's not there, but then she played that back for me, and you can hear him clearly say something like, let it go or move on, but it's a separate voice that wasn't there.
Does it sound like the voice was in the room, or does it sound more like background noise? That
I believe it was more like a background noise, like a whisper, but it was pretty clearly, and it's happened in multiple investigations where it's clearly defined words and you can tell what they're going on. Imagine if you're like listening to like an AM radio station, mm-hmm. and you can still hear the words, but it's kind of staticky at right. the same time.
Mm-hmm. Creepy.
Yeah.
And your brother is alive?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, this is the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a positive experience.
No, I mean just like not creepy, like scary, just like unexpected. I imagine when you're listening, it makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck creepy. Like eerie. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to play it over several times, you know, and then you play it for the group and say, "Did you hear the same thing I heard?" You know, without telling them what you think it is, because if you tell them, they're going to think that's what they hear.
Yeah, kind of manifesting the idea in their head. Right.
So you just have to say, do you hear anything when I play this to you?
What's that thing over there?
This?
No, that.
This is an EMF detector.
So this is specifically for this type of...
Yeah, and it lights up from green to red.
I feel like the Ghostbusters music is going to play.
Right?
So green from red. So green resembles...
The lowest level of EMF.
So the people that are finding you now, like you guys said, just recently you're out helping somebody. How did that person come across to you?
It was like a friend of a friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I imagine the last time you guys were at SportsCenter, that probably brought, that's how I found out about you. It was because it was in the newspaper. A lot of people say where we're at right now in the Larson building, that it's haunted. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard any stories regarding the Larson?
I haven't heard any stories regarding it.
No. The only thing I've heard is that someone jumped off the roof, but that's just, you know, that's not necessarily paranormal. It's just a sad story.
We're on pretty good terms with the leasing agent that runs the whole Larson. It'd be cool if you guys ever wanted to maybe come do a tour of the Larson building where you can go like into the basement and kind of go through the floors and see if you get any readings. Since you guys are going to, as of right now anyway, Yakima Paranormal is going to be housing their monthly meetings here in our office every month.
Yep.
So how cool would that be if you happen to be in a place that provides the kind of energy that you guys are seeking?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be there for next Saturday because I'm interested to see. I'm curious. And I also spoke to the fellows, the two gentlemen.
Victor and Derek.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to be there as well. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really cool to kind of see what you guys got going on. I meant to ask you earlier because I heard you mention about meditation. Uh-huh. Have you ever heard of the Gateway Experience?
No, I do not believe.
I'm going to send it to you because a lot of people, when you talk about meditating, a lot of people just don't know how to meditate. Mm-hmm. And part of meditating, people will jump to the conclusion of, oh, meditation is bullshit. It doesn't really work. It's because it's not like you just close your eyes and sit there and meditate. It requires work. It requires sounds, noises, vibrations, different signals from frequencies.
Visualization is probably the easiest meditation to get into when you're first starting off meditation. Yeah.
I got into it on accident. I've always been into kind of using frequencies as like relaxation. Like before bed, I'll listen to like green noise versus like white noise.
Kind of like the Om chants and stuff like that.
But like different noises have different purposes. Like a good friend of mine in Florida knew that I was into this, and he's like, hey, you should try this thing called the Gateway Experience. It was designed for the CIA. And then it got blacklisted. It was almost like it never happened. Then it got re-released, and I think it's like 30 something different sessions of the like part, we'll call it part one through part 30. It's the first part, it's an explanation of what you're going to go into, and it's guided. So you've actually got somebody's voice, and you have to wear headphones because it taps left hemisphere and right hemisphere of your brain. And it helps you put your body into a complete state of sleep while your mind remains awake. So do you have a partner?
I do.
Okay. When your partner's sleeping, you can tell when they go to sleep because you'll hear the breathing patterns change, right? You've heard your husband. We've all experienced this. Mario, have you experienced this with your wife? When she goes to sleep, her breathing changes. Well, what's interesting, when I started doing this guided meditation, within the first night I did it, I realized that I was completely asleep, but my brain was completely awake and aware of what was happening. And I went into this weird, I don't want to use the word astral projection.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And the best way I can explain, because I don't know if what I saw was stepping away from my body and seeing real time, or if I was so in control of my thoughts that like, if I said right now, look at the room, close your eyes and describe everything you see, right? You're going to forget a lot of the room. But the more, and this was used to teach the CIA how to really manifest and maximize their brain power. I feel like when I closed my eyes, because what I saw initially, and this has only happened once, and my intent wasn't for this. And I think that has a lot to do with it. When you're intending a purpose for something, sometimes everything else happens but that, because you're so focused on that one thing. Well, my purpose for doing this guided meditation was just maybe to sleep better at night. Well, all of a sudden, I could see what looked like a vision of like almost like snow, like buzzing snow. And I started to focus on that snow, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger to about maybe something like that big. And the best way I could describe it was like an old school film projector look of grainy, filmy. And all of a sudden I realized it was me laying there, and I could see everything around me in perfect detail. So the question I came back to myself later on was, did I step out? Was I looking at myself, or was my memory so in tune to what was around me that I was able to depict that image? And to this day, like, I realized I experienced something that I've only heard about. And now that every time I do it, I try to do that, and it doesn't happen. I'm trying so hard.
Yeah. I was talking to Emma and Shelley the other night, how I've been trying to like learn what you described as astral projection. And I've been trying to learn that.
I'm going to send this to you.
Yeah. And the one night that I wasn't trying to actually do it, I did it. And what had happened is my body started like having these intense vibrations, and I started looking. What, you know how normally whenever you fall asleep and you see all these different lights, it came out like I was looking at like an old TV screen, but the channel was gone and it was fuzzy. And then the next thing I know, I feel like my body's floating up, and I hit the ceiling, and I kind of go out the door, and I go to places where I've always wanted to go. Like, that's where my mind was taking me. But of course, it was the one night that I wasn't trying to do it.
Right.
I did it.
Because when you're trying to do something, you're not truly, like, when they say, when you meditate, you're supposed to, like, think of nothing. So if you're trying to do something, you're actually thinking of something, which kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. It's really hard to go into, like, this nothingness. But the meditating part, I mean, the vibrating part, you know, part of the guided meditation is there's a breathing exercise where if like you're blowing out a candle, like, but then you vibrate, and there'd be this signal of time where you do it with this, I don't want to use the word chant because it wasn't a chant. It was more of like frequency sounds that would take place during your breathing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you'll hear, now breathe normal. And all of a sudden you can like, when I say you can feel the vibration through your body is vibrating. I'll tell you that when I was meditating, because I also go to church, not as regularly as I should, but I noticed that when I meditate the day before I go to church, when I go to church, I get way more out of it. Every time I meditate for the next maybe 12 to 8 hours, it's almost like my mind opens up to a different understanding and questions that I've always had that kind of were my problem with church, right? I would ask questions like, why am I going to go blindly follow? Like, that doesn't, why would I blindly follow? Like, all these questions would enter my head. And when I would ask these questions at church, I would usually get kind of shut down answers. And an individual that Mario and I both know, he said something that was really cool. He said, probably the best thing you can do as a Christian is don't go to church.
Right.
And you know what I'm talking about, right? I think you were there that night.
Yeah.
So when he said that, it resonated because unfortunately we live in a world where whether you're doing what you guys are doing or you're opening up a fucking church, you don't know what somebody's intent is, right? They could be charlatans too. So while I was meditating, the thought came into my head that, you know, do you have kids?
I have a stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter. Okay. How old is she?
She's 10.
Would you let me watch her tomorrow?
No.
Why?
Because I don't know you. So there's that fear.
There's that fear. Now, if you got to know me, maybe, right?
Right.
So that's what hit my head. I said, well, maybe if I get to know Jesus, maybe it'll be easier to follow. And that wasn't, so what I'm saying is this whole meditating thing, it can be used for almost all aspects of your life to improve your life if you're not looking at it through this singular purpose.
Well, and it's not only that, but in somewhat the religion that I was brought up in, and I see a lot of people brought up in, is more fear-based. Fear kind of controls people. You do what, you know, you do things that according to what you fear.
Consequences
yeah. of, or the unknown. Whereas if you approach religion or spirituality, or even how we're talking about, without any fear, you kind of start getting a different perspective on things in a broader perspective than what you didn't know before or couldn't see. You know, it's like having different answers.
Right.
That were just beyond, but blocked by fear.
I think we should definitely have another episode and pick back up. Anything else? Did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Shelley and Jean, thank you so much, guys. I'm Dan Wise, Wise Media Studios. People up and people, Communities Method, one day at a time. See y'all next time. Peace.